mention, just and give a thanks to Lindsay Cronmiller. She made our awesome background for this series. And as you guys may know, she also made the graphics for the logo and signs. Business cards, just our general logos. So thank you, Lindsay, for your skills and time in that. I appreciate that. I know she's not here, but I think it's super cool. So if I haven't met you, I'm Dove, and I'm a pastor here. And I wanted to tell you guys a story, and we're going to continue on this series talking about eternal life in Christ. So I may have told this story before, but I've thought about this a lot. So it was a few years ago, it was before I was a pastor, and Steve called me, and he had got a call from a family who had asked if someone from the church would come and do some kind of last rites for the mother of the family who was dying. And so she was at home and she only had a short time to live. And so Steve asked if I would go with him because I speak just enough Spanish to embarrass myself. And so I went with him and we went to this person's home, and their kids were all gathered there and grandkids. They had some of them lived in Albuquerque and were down. And I think there was a mix of Catholic and Christian. And Steve had told him, hey, we don't really do last rites, but we'd be happy to come and pray with you and do a blessing. So we walk into this home, and we walk in, and I'm nervous, It's like all these people I've never met, and there's all these expectations that I have no idea about. And hopefully Steve and I will walk in, and we will say the right prayer and raise the dead. And this woman will get out of bed and start jumping for joy. I don't think that was the expectation, but there was definite expectation that we had something to give, something to bring. And so we come in, and there's this woman who wasn't nearly as old as she looked, but she was living her last day and just curled up on a bed, and the family was all gathered in the room with her. And I think being a part of someone's final days, being a part of death, is such a, in one sense, it's a real honor. It's a really sacred place. And I know it's kind of a part of life that gets kind of put on the side sometimes, and we don't really like to talk about or look at it. But I think it's a really sacred part of life. And so I felt really honored to be there, but also kind of some expectations. So we came in and we knelt at the bed of this woman. And she wasn't conscious. She was very drugged up, and they were trying to take care of the pain. And Steve began to pray, and I was just translating his prayer as best I could and praying. And I remember her name was Berta, and I began by praying for Beto. And I was super embarrassed by that because I had mixed up her name, and not only mixed up her name, but mixed up the gender of her name. And we're praying, and then after we prayed for her, and then one of the kids got up, and I think they were kind of like, it's supposed to look this way. And so I think she was more like, she had like a frustrated vibe, and she came over to do like a more of a traditional Catholic blessing. And so we sat there, and I spoke a few words to this unconscious woman. And then we read a psalm, and then we kind of waited around, and I think they thought that she was going to die really soon. And so then Steve and I kind of moved into the kitchen with some other family members, and we're talking about their faith and their church in Albuquerque. And I felt like, did I give what I was supposed to give or what they wanted me to give? And I messed up, my Spanish wasn't very good, and I messed up her name, and I didn't do the right thing. But I remember one of the guys there just kind of talking to him and him being encouraged of like, God is here and God's at work. And as we left, he kind of gathered the family and they continued to pray and kind of just leading in song and just being there for her in her last time. And then as we left, he offered us money. We're like, no, you don't have to give us any money, but we're glad to be a part of it. And I've often thought of this, and I think the story in my mind for many years was just kind of one of failure. Like, whatever the expectations or the hopes were, I missed them. I don't know what they were. I don't know what I should have done or what. Certainly prayed for the right name. But over time, that has, as I've pondered it, that story has changed in my mind. It's changed in my mind to where I can see that God brought something through us. And it may not have been the miracle that I thought it could have been, but God brought something through Steve and I because the Spirit of God is in us. And because we spoke words of life and words of truth. And we shared that. And in Isaiah 55, it says that God's word, when it goes out, it doesn't come back empty. It's like rain. It goes out and it waters. It produces life. Sometimes I wish we could control that or be more a part of it, but it's true. And it happens. And it might not be on my timing or in my understanding, but God's word goes out with power. And so we've been talking about eternal life, that in Christ we have eternal life. And as we share eternal life with others, that's life giving to us as well. So let's pray. And we're going to continue in Colossians, and we're going to look in Colossians about what it means to share life with others and sharing eternal life with others. So let's pray. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for how you've rescued me, how you've brought me into your kingdom. Thank you for what you're doing. God, I pray for the things that you want to speak to us today. They'd go beyond our heads, beyond a bunch of ideas. They would penetrate into my heart, into my being, into my experience. Thank you that you have included us in this great mission. Teach us today, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to review just a little bit. The gospel is amazing. We've been talking about the gospel a lot. The gospel means good news. The good news is absolutely amazing. And I come back to the gospel all the time. Like Steve said, it's not just like this beginning moment, but it's the beginning and then we grow in the gospel. The good news, it's an ongoing thing. And the gospel has, to me, I think of it like a diamond. The gospel is like a diamond. It has all these different facets, all these different faces, all these different parts of it. And one of those parts of the gospel is that through Jesus, you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven forever. That is awesome. And that is a huge, that's the gospel, by faith in Christ. And then there's some other facets, and as I think of them, they're all connected together. So I just want to rewind just because I love the gospel. And I think about it all the time and what it is. And I don't want it just to be a head thing, but I want us each to experience this. Because of Jesus' death in my place, and because of his resurrection that conquered death, when I put faith in that, I'm no longer separated, alienated, at odds with God. We looked at this in Colossians. Paul is saying that. We are no longer separated. We are no longer far from God. We are no longer at odds or enemies with him. But instead, through the gospel, I am close to God. I belong in his family. I belong in this family of other misfits with the most amazing Father. Because of Jesus' death in my place and his resurrection, which conquers death, I am no longer spiritually dead. I was spiritually dead. My spirit was separated from God and dead. But instead, I have the Spirit of Christ in me, which means I have a good heart, which means out of me flows love and hope and faith and goodwill for others and care. God has transformed me from the inside. Hallelujah. And this isn't just an idea. This is a reality for all of us who have faith in Christ. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, through faith, I am no longer a part of the rebellious kingdom of darkness, that satanic kingdom that says, it's all about me. I'm in charge. I'm God. I'm the king. All the world revolves around me. I'm going to make it about me. I'm going to control everything and make it all for my good. Instead, I've been brought into the kingdom of light where things work, where there's a bigger reality, where it's not just all about myself anymore, under the one true king. And I have a royal inheritance in that kingdom. The gospel is amazing. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, I am no longer filthy, dirty, and guilty in my conscience. Because of what Jesus has done, I am forgiven, I am blameless, I am free from accusation. What an amazing thing. And as I grow in the gospel, that becomes more and more of a reality, not just an idea. Doesn't it feel good to be clean? I'm blameless. The accusation is gone. It takes me a while. Sometimes I still hang on to that junk. Wait a second. This is a reality. I'm completely forgiven. I'm blameless, like Christ, because Christ is in me. And so, for each of us, I hope the truth of the gospel just continues to feed us and grow in us, and we see more and more facets of that diamond. One of the most beautiful ones is that when I die, I will not go to hell. I will live with God forever. But there's a lot of other facets that are so beautiful. I think for me, because I'm kind of a relational person, that's how I'm wired. To me, this is what connects with me. Because of Jesus, I have been brought back into a vibrant relationship with God. That's what he was saying, reconciled in Colossians. And that relationship will never end, never. I am in relationship with God, and that relationship never ends. Even if I die, that relationship continues. It goes on. It's fascinating to me how Jesus says this in John 17. He says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that we know God, and we will know him forever. Because Jesus has opened the door and erased anything in the way. Awesome. May the gospel soak into our lives again and again and again and again and refresh us. What Jesus has done is absolutely astounding. And the cool thing is, the gospel is so simple, a little kid could tell somebody else. And yet it's so profound, you could learn about it your entire life and never completely grasp all the blessings of it. So, we get not only to receive the gospel, to receive the newness of Christ, but we get to be ministers of the gospel. We get to share it with others. And as we've seen, it is life-giving to us when we receive the gospel. It's also life-giving to us when we share it with others. And we're going to look at that. So we're going to go through Colossians 1:23 up to 2:3. So in Colossians 1:23, Paul is saying, this is the gospel. Hang on to it. Never let go of the gospel. Don't give up faith in the gospel. It says, this is the gospel that you heard, and it has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Wow. Okay, he's saying, I'm a servant to this gospel. I've become a servant to take this message everywhere. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you. It wasn't easy for Paul. He's most likely writing this from prison. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I've been pondering this a bit, just the power of God in us. He's contending with the power of Christ that is working in him in this huge struggle to bring the good news, to proclaim and admonish, and not just to leave it with people, but to see people come to maturity, to see them grow as disciples, to see them follow Christ and walk in completeness. That word mature there is pretty interesting. Sometimes they translate it perfect, or it means like complete. I want to see everybody complete, completely who they are in Christ. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Cool. I love Paul's heart. He's just saying, man, I work so hard for the gospel. I struggle. Just like Christ suffered, I suffer. And I do it all gladly. I do it all for your sake, that Christ could be known. So that you could be full of love. What do you say? My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. I want all people to be encouraged in heart, united in love in Christ. Okay, so we get a share in this same ministry that Paul had. And so I want to throw out three things. Just as we have the opportunity to share the gospel with others, the first thing is that there's eternal purpose in that. There's an eternal purpose in bringing the gospel to others. And I want you guys right where you're at, if you have that pulled up on your phone or on the paper. So we're looking at the end of Colossians 1, 23 over to 2, 5. Underline or highlight or something, or just look at where does Paul talk about there being purpose in sharing the gospel. So I'm going to give you a few seconds, like 30 seconds, to read over it and look through it, scan it. Where does he talk about there being purpose in that? Where does Paul find an eternal purpose? Anybody want to throw out a phrase? What's a phrase you see that indicates that there's a huge eternal purpose in bringing the gospel to others? Cool. That we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. He's saying, I have a purpose. I'm aiming for this. To present everyone fully mature in Christ. Cool. There's purpose in that. Yeah. My goal. I have a goal. It's like, This isn't just a haphazard thing. I have a goal. God's given me a goal. Yeah. Did you guys know goals are good in life? They're important. They actually drive your life. They keep you from just cruising on an aimless life, which can be fun for a while. But after a while, it's like, here's some more phrases that I saw. The commission God gave me. God gave me a commission. Hey, Paul, this is your mission, bro. I want you to take this to the Gentiles. Whoa. He knew God had given him a commission. Did you guys know we have a commission too? The Great Commission. It wasn't just given to a few, it was given to us. That's a cool phrase. I strenuously contend. I like that phrase, contend. I'm contending for you. It's like I'm working towards something. I'm contending. I'm putting effort into this. I saw the phrase too that Isabel was saying. My goal is this. I have a goal. I have this purpose. I'm working for something. And I know we've shared examples of like the Olympics before. Training for the Olympics is horrible. It consumes your entire life. My brother, for a while, worked for Athletes in Action, and he would go and film Olympic athletes. And he met these guys that are training for like the Olympic skeleton, like the luge or whatever it is. And these guys, like, they're there, they're sleeping in like somebody's garage or like in the gym floor. They work at Walmart and put all of their time and money into training so that they can go to the Olympics. It sucks their entire life away. But it's worth it if that's what you love. And there's something really cool about a goal. When you really, really have a goal that means something to you, the sacrifice just falls apart. Like, big deal. And purpose is one of the things that's life-giving to us. And it is life-giving to be engaged in the eternal purpose of the gospel. We get to be ministers of the gospel, and in that, there is a divine cooperation. In other words, we get to work together with God to bring the gospel to others. Like I was highlighting earlier, Colossians 1, 28 and 29. He is the one we proclaim, not ourselves, Jesus. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And so, Paul calls himself a servant, which isn't very glamorous, but I'm going to make it even less glamorous. We are a watering wand. And these things are pretty sweet because you guys know what these can do? They can put water on plants. And they do it in a nice, gentle way. But they can still deliver a lot of water. And so we get to work with God. And so a watering wand is actually pretty worthless by itself. But if it's connected to a hose, then it actually can do some really awesome things, which is make things grow. My tomatoes just froze last night. I don't know if you guys grew any tomatoes, but yeah, we were finally getting tomatoes. They like the cold. But you take one of these, and it's like, it makes it grow. It needs water. And so we are like a conduit. We are not the source of life, but we are a conduit of life. And we are able to bring water. We are able to bring the gospel. We are able to bring the goodness of God through our lives. It doesn't come from us. It's the power of God working in us. And the power of God working in us, we have an opportunity to speak and speak the words of God, which will bring life. And even as you look at what did Paul do? Paul probably didn't know most of the people in this church, maybe some. There's two things that I see really that are really cool that Paul did. Paul prayed for them, and Paul sent him a letter. And sometimes in our life, it seems kind of pathetic. What can we do for people? We can say words to them, and we can pray for them. May we never undervalue the power of praying for someone and sharing words with them. Because those words are not just our words. When those words come from God, those prayers are connected to God. They bring life. And I love the analogies of these seeds. I don't know if you guys have ever planted seeds. Do you do anything to make them grow? Is there any, like, you rub them or, you know, no, you just water them. And it's like, God makes it happen. God's the one that makes things grow. Our responsibility to cooperate with God is to be willing to water, be willing to pray, be willing to speak. I want to just stop and think about this for a moment. What stops you from sharing your faith in Christ with others? What stops you from doing that? We have the words of life to bring. And sometimes there's a sense, people don't really want the water. They're going to be like, "Brr, that water's cold." Or, "That's not water, that's acid." Like, no, it's water. So sometimes we might doubt, like, people don't need it. People don't want it. I think sometimes we look at ourselves instead. I'm such a corroded watering wand. I mean, like, my paint's chipping, and I don't know. Can water come through me? Or, man, maybe I don't know everything. Dove's talking about all these facets of the gospel. All I know is Jesus opened a door for me to go to heaven. Awesome. That's water. But sometimes I think I'm waiting, like, I don't know enough, or I don't want to annoy somebody. Sometimes we have fear, and we just turn this thing off. Oof, I'm afraid. What might happen if I share? What might they think about me? How might they respond? And I think sometimes the watering wand gets totally corroded, rusted over. A couple of years ago, they were checking the fire hydrants. So they opened up the fire hydrant and tested it. It worked good, and they shut it down. And then it stirred up all this rust in the pipes. And so the water coming out of our tap was like rusty brown. You fill up a cup, and it was like, this is scary. And so we called the water place, and they're like, "Yeah, it's fine. You can still drink it. It's just rust." And so it's like, okay, sweet. And then they sent a guy out, and he came over to the hydrant, and he just opened the hydrant up and let hundreds of, where's Marty? He would know how many gallons. But they let out a lot of water, just flooded the entire street, full blast from the hydrant. And I went over and talked to the guy. I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" He's like, "Yeah, there's rust in all the pipes, but it settles. And so it got stirred up, so we're just going to drain it out." I feel like sometimes in our lives, it's similar. We have to there's some things in our life we got to work through with God. We got to get some of that rust out. And we do that just by bringing that to God, just being honest with God, letting Him see it and sharing it, so that we can be a good conduit for God. And our role is so small, but it's so powerful. You might be the only person some people in your life will ever have as a witness for Christ. You might be one of the only people people in your neighborhood or that you work with or go to school with will ever see as an example of Christ. And we have an opportunity. Do we have to do it perfect? No. I love this. I get bound up in perfectionism. And I love the gospel. It's like, just water. Just share what you have. God empowers it. We struggle with His energy that powerfully works. To me, That is life-giving. I get to work with God. That's life-giving. The third thing, we get to be ministers of the gospel, and there's joy in bringing the gospel to others. I love how Paul is not like, man, this is horrible. I'm in prison. I'm always working hard for people. He's like, I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you. Wow. I am present with you in spirit, and I delight to see you. Those are cool words. And to me, that's life-giving. You want to know if something is life-giving? It brings joy. And so as we share the gospel, it brings eternal purpose, a cooperation with God, and amazing joy in our lives. And to me, that is life-giving. It is life-giving to be vessels for God. And it's His power at work in us. And so for that reason, I look back, even on that story I was telling you guys, look back at my life, it's like, man, have I been a good watering wand? Have I really, like, have I shared? Have I been a witness? And I look back and I see the marks of, in the midst of me, just being me, God has been at work. In things I didn't even realize that I shared that were meaningful, God worked in people's lives. God is working through us. Will we be a conduit? I want to invite you guys, just a simple application for this. First of all, I want to just invite you, if you've never said yes to what God offers us in Christ, I invite you to check it out. I invite you to talk to me, talk to somebody else, and say yes. Put your faith in Christ. He offers us the most amazing gift of what our souls are really searching for. And then second, on Saturday, like Jenna said, from 9 to 11 here, we're going to do a little workshop. Bring your computers if you have a laptop. And we're going to actually just take some time and actually not just talk about it, but give some hints and stuff, and then actually take some time and actually work on just developing a simple story from our lives that could be useful to share with somebody. And that might be in a video, or that might be in a written tract. And you guys have probably seen Steve's tracts that he passed out. He's got a couple of them. And when we go out to eat, a lot of times I'll see him. He'll just leave one with the cashier, leave one with our server. Be like, hey, here's a story I wrote from my life. I just wanted to share it with you. One time we were at Denny's, and we went there twice, Kevin and Steve and I. And the second time we were there, the server said, hey, that story, that really meant a lot to me. And kind of the vibe was like, yeah, you know, I get canned stuff sometimes from people, but this was like really real, and I really connected with it. And so it's just one way that we can be ministers of the gospel. And the beautiful thing is, as we are ministers of the gospel, it gives us life. It gives us joy and purpose and a connection to God. Because we know it's not us. I'm not trying to bring me, but I'm bringing God, and I need Him. It's His work flowing through us. So, all right, let's pray. Thank you, God. God, I thank you that we don't have to be perfect vessels. We don't have to be superstars. Thank you, God, that we can just be us, and that you empower our lives. Thank you that you shine through us to others. Thank you that you give us words to speak. Thank you that the simple testimony of our faith is powerful. Thank you that you are at work. God, I offer myself to be used by you. I want to be a minister of your gospel. I want to be used by you. I want to strive and contend and give my life for that. I need you. It's not my work. Have your way, God. Use us. Use this little church. Use us to touch hundreds of lives in El Paso. Use us to reach nations. Use us, because it's your power. It's your truth. In Jesus' name.